G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Rise and shine on Australia's Vision Christian Radio.
There's no real Easter songs, is there? There's not like a happy Easter, happy Easter. There's not like, you know, there's Christmas carols that everybody sings and you hear in the shops.
Sure.
But there's not like popular Easter songs.
No, I suppose.
Yeah.
We should ask someone who's leading worship and Good Friday tomorrow if there's like a staple of songs.
Yes.
That you go, I mean, it used to be Darlene Check's song, I'm Thankful for the Cross?
Yeah, that's
that
a popular.
That was a staple.
In the churches that I grew up with, old-fashioned hymns, it was always up the from the grave he arose. You know, when
the old rugged cross.
Yeah, those type of things. Yes. I love those hymns. But I guess there's no traditional songs that everybody sings, the wider culture around Easter.
No,
not like Christmas time.
Well, yes, that's probably true. Well, it's one of those we're commemorating and then we're celebrating. So there's both elements there, aren't there?
Yeah, I guess feeling. We could. I mean, not even. Did you ever do the the hot cross bun?
To a penny hot cross bun.
Yeah, if you have no daughters, give them to your sons.
Oh, I never heard that bit. No.
That's the second part of the
really?
Song.
Really? There is not.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay,
traditional.
How does it go then?
It's like a schoolyard.
Something about you giving your sons to your daughters.
No. If you, like, one a penny, two a penny, hot cross buns. If you have no daughters, give them to your sons, as in, like, you're buying them.
But you give them to your daughters first.
Yeah.
Well, I can accept that, I suppose.
I don't know
put it that way.
There might be an inner meaning that we're totally losing here. But it was what the sellers of the hot cross buns used to chant. You remember, just imagine old England.
Really?
England. Yeah, that's the tradition where it came from.
Oh.
They would have chants, like, like people singing out the cries, giving out newspapers or anything. It was that type of thing. So
they would have been delicious though, wouldn't they? Maybe hot out of the oven.
I don't know. I don't know how.
You think by the time they got into the hands of some kid selling them.
Yeah, selling them or some old lady selling where they're actually coming from. They carried, the reason why they were popular early on, there was a lot of superstitions around it. That was a superstition that they would never go mouldy. Hot cross buns would never go mouldy.
A bit like cheeseburgers today.
Yeah. I don't know what they were putting in it. I reckon they didn't go mouldy back then because no one was storing them. Everybody was eating straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Seamen, sailors and different sea captains and stuff like that would take them on voyages with them, the entire voyage, because the superstition was with a hot cross bun, they won't sink.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because it was a religious.
That is odd.
There was a few other weird ones around that, but the history of the hot cross bun, very, very fascinating, especially with, I think the first Queen Elizabeth, and then there was another king who said, you can only sell them on this day. You can't do them like this. You can't do it like that.
I saw that.
Yeah, very interesting.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
But today we're going to explore it in depth.
Yes.
There's a lot of hot cross bun talk. If you haven't got one, you might want one on the ready as you listen along. I'm told reliably by my husband that this requires a hot cross bun to listen to.
Exactly. And while you're doing that, get that lovely hot cross bun all warmed up and ready to go, because we've got Ken Duncan coming up later on in the show.
Yeah.
Australian photographer, just great storyteller, as you'll hear. And I'm going to try to pull out some extra bonus bits of his conversation with us and stick them into the show as well. So enjoy your Easter, enjoy the podcast, and we will be back on
Tuesday.
Thank you. I have no idea what's going on.
Great conversations, fun, inspiration, and more. Rise and shine with Fel and DJ on Vision.
And DJ, this morning we've put the call out there.
Yes.
We've said tomorrow's Good Friday.
Yes.
Today could be Thankful Thursday.
I like it.
Keen to hear from everyone what God's doing in your life. Something good that God is doing that you want to give praise and thanks for. And that encourages yourself, but also encourages everyone else around us.
What could be better? What could be better on this Thursday? Encourage everybody. 1-800-316-316 is the number to call. And I can see a very special person on the line right now. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning, DJ! and Val. I just wanted to call and say that for the past 5 months, the Lord has been working in my life, and it was directly due to Vision.
Wow.
I started listening to it, and I'll just do a real short version because I know DJ knows this, but he brought forward, I was starving so much that for 24/7 for 5 months, I've been listening to Vision, all the songs, all the different, everything. I could like be, I am part of the folks group as well. So. But anyway, the Lord has showed me all of my sin I needed to confess. I had been sick 16 years, self-imposed. Mm. I didn't know that. So I confessed all my sin. My sin was making me sick. And then I forgave everybody that ever hurt me, or I perceived being hurt, or I have hurt. And it is so freeing. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It is so freeing.
Wow.
And I'm so in love with the Holy Spirit. So, so in love.
Oh.
I'd like to thank Vision and DJ for reaching out with me.
Oh.
No, I mean, yeah, seriously.
Well,
that was the start of it. Yeah.
We love, Mickey, we love the fact that, you know, God's active and at work in your life and, you know, leading you, you know, after all these years and everything like that, that God's really been doing that. And it's not, and again, it's not about Vision. It's, we're just, you know, being a little bit of a conduit here.
But you're cool.
Exactly. It's all in God's hand, right, in your life there.
But yeah.
Love your testimony, Mickey. And, you know, thank you so much for calling up and sharing your good news.
No worries. Thanks. Bye.
Bless you. Bless you. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, that's Mickey there. We're asking you for your testimony. You've just heard Mickey's there. Have you got something you want to share?
Getting you up and ready to face the day. This is Rise and Shine with Fel and DJ on Vision.
Morning, we're asking you, what is good God doing in your life?
Amen.
And look, a couple of things that we're very thankful for are some new stations joining the Vision family.
Let's go. Yes, Vision has got some wonderful, you know, always active. We just had the incredible, one of our tech team,
yes.
The wonderful John.
Yes.
Just came back in the building and I thought he'd been gone for like a couple of days. No, he's been gone for 3 weeks, of course. gone for 3 weeks, time flies. And I'm like, how did it go? And he goes, yeah, six new stations up while I'm
amazing.
I was like, what? So it is God is moving. God is using Vision right across Australia, and so we've got a couple of new stations to give a shout out to.
That's right. I would like to give a shout out to Berrigan, which is station number 821.
Ooh.
And listening to us on 88 FM. A big hello to anyone in Berrigan who's listening for the first time on that frequency, and if you know someone in the area, let them know. And now it's in the Southern Riviera region, if you're not familiar with Berrigan, so a beautiful part of the world. And a couple of things that they did first. It's always nice to be the first for something.
Okay.
They established the first rural fire service in the country, which is pretty impressive. And also just down the road is the first hydroelectric power station, which is pretty impressive as well. So we're glad to be bringing some of God's power to a place where obviously there's lots of power already.
I love it. Well, listen, you had station 821.
Yes.
Going to beat you today.
No,
I've got station.
Never.
I see your 821 and I raise your 822. Station 822 Oberon in New South Wales. Now, Oberon, I've actually been through Oberon because it's the gateway to, I think it's got the gateway to the caves. What is it? The Janolan Caves? Out that way. It's Oberon's only about 2,500 people, about 2.5 hours from Sydney on the Great Western Highway. So you go through Penrith, up through Katoomba, over the Blue Mountains, and then into the Oberon.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world. So shout out to everybody tuning in this morning, part of the, you know, the high country out there on Oberon, listening to us on 87.6 FM. And I'm going to be always you're going to be my special station because it was launched on the 18th of March, my birthday. So my little birthday present to myself was Oberon switching on there to Vision. No, I'm only joking there. But big shout out to everyone. If you know anybody in those areas, whether it was Oberon or
in Berrigan, let them know.
Yeah.
They can now tune in. So Berrigan 88 FM and Oberon on 87.6 FM, pretty close frequencies there.
Yeah.
Obviously through the app all the time.
Exactly. And if you're somewhere where you're thinking, hey, I want John to come and put a station out at my place.
I want to meet John.
Yeah, let us know. Well, we do have other tech
meetings.
There's not just
true.
One guy running around. But, you know, tech teams all over Australia making sure the stations are, you know, updated and the transmitters are working properly and all that type of stuff. If you want to get one out where you are in your community, please get in contact with us over at vision.org.au.
Rise and shine with Fel and DJ on Vision.
thankful this Thursday. Tomorrow's Good Friday, so we're thankful for a long weekend, but we're mostly thankful, more thankful for the wonderful thing that God has done and is doing in our lives, which mean that we have a long weekend.
Amen. We want to look a little bit higher than the long weekend. I know we're
sometimes
all excited.
You can look at the little things.
Exactly. We're all excited for a rest here, but we're asking for your thankful Thursday, and we're asking you to give us a call, 1-800-316-316. So blessed to hear some of your messages this morning. So we're going to continue it here, 1-800-316-316.
Now we've got Carol on the line. Carol, do you have a God testimony for us?
Yes, I do. Yesterday we said farewell to one of my elder cousins. I'm Aboriginal, and all her life she didn't live for the Lord. She didn't want to know about the Lord. Couldn't talk to her about God, but she made a very she was a very, like, in our community, in our town, on them. But the praise report is that towards the end, before she passed away a couple of months ago, she bowed the knee to Jesus.
Oh, praise
and she
God.
Accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And I was one of them. I got to pray the prayer with her and lead her to the Lord. And then as it progressed, other Christians in our family went and visited her, and they did the same and prayed with her. And she just bowed the knee, and God just worked on her, and she actually died in peace.
Wow.
You know, she had the peace of God in her.
Wow.
And and she just thing. And so we celebrated her life yesterday, and the whole community, our community town, gave her a really good, honoured her and gave her a good send-off.
Oh, that's so
and
special.
And she even had a police escort, like, the procession.
Wow.
And our local MPs even came to the service.
Oh, wow. Carol, please let us know the town, and would you give your, cousin, the honour of, telling us a little bit about her. What was her name?
Sandra Stewart, and we're in Gordonvale.
Okay. So one of the, I would say, one of the crucial, like, elders there in that community, someone who was looked up to everybody.
Yeah, she made an impact in the education department.
Yeah.
She was in the, her partner was in the RSL, in the military, and she was in there. Yeah. Just every aspect of her life, she touched people, and then, like, towards the end, but she was very adamant against, I don't want to know about God.
Wow.
Don't talk to me about this, Jesus.
Was that because
and
of something?
And then she bowed her knee.
Carol, was that because of something that had happened earlier in her life? Where did that animosity come from?
I'd say it came from her, the history of our nation.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of flowed on into her, and she was just, she was making a mark for for our people in the world.
Yes.
And for the next, but she had a heart for the next generation, so she was pouring it into them.
Yeah.
And she believed the way for them was, to get them educated and get them financially independent and living, and on their own to stand up and be who they are and their cultural identity and that.
Yeah.
But then towards the end, she was older than me, but me and my family, we came to the Lord, she just wouldn't have any bar of it.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
But then she saw how we never wavered.
Yeah.
We never wavered from following the Lord, and we never ever, even with all the cultural change that was allowing us to go back into our culture, we've still stayed with Jesus and said, no, this is the way. Jesus is the way.
Right.
The truth and the life. And we said, at the end of the day, you're gonna meet him either as your Lord or Savior.
Yeah.
So, it's up to you. You're better off meeting him as your Savior.
Yeah.
And she did. She just, like to see the change in her.
Amen.
That softening, to see Jesus softening someone's heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Going from hard to just, just being submissive and letting us tell her what to do.
I
how do I receive the Jesus?
Praise God.
And letting us pray with her.
Yeah. Kara, I love the fact that she's been such a great example of the community, and I'm praying that in your local community, those young people that she's been talking to over all these years, they'll see that part of her life where she's given her life to Christ, and that'll be a bit of a testimony, a legacy.
Great.
Because we know that the only thing, and you've experienced, Carol, the only thing that really can heal our nation together and bring the healing from the past is only the forgiveness of Christ and what he can do in our lives. So I pray that her testimony and her legacy continues there. But we love that. Thank you so much for calling, Carol.
We have Vision. We have Vision Radio in Gordonwell too. And so thank you. Bye.
Bless you heaps.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. You too, Carol. Wow, what an amazing, amazing testimony. And we love this. Hey, listen, I think, Phil, we've got space for one more.
One more. If you've got something that God's doing in your life, we'd love to hear about it.
Hey, I just got a message from a friend of ours down in Melbourne, wonderful listener, Catherine from Port Arlington. And she's about to take the Westgate Bridge. If anyone listening in Melbourne, you know what you're doing. She's going from west. She's out Port Arlington on the Bellarine Peninsula. She's going to be driving over the Westgate Bridge of Melbourne there, heading out in the complete opposite direction, and she heads up to the Belgrave Heights Convention for the Easter weekend. Very, very special time. Wonderful time of singing, fellowship, great teaching. And I couldn't help it because she was asking me about what lane to get in as she's going to go through the tunnel.
Oh, yes.
I've totally forgotten. I'm sorry. I don't have any help for you here. But if anybody knows the tunnel situation, let us know. But it got me thinking, as the family head up for Belgrave Heights Convention there, what are you doing anything special? Are you going to any special events over Easter for you guys?
Yeah, look, we have our normal church services on Good Friday, so I'm really glad the church we're going to has a Good Friday service. They're not all. And also on Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. But in the afternoon, one thing we've been doing as a family is going to Easter United. So that's an event that's on the Gold Coast. It's a combination of all the churches getting together to praise God together out in the open in the parklands there. It's always a really precious time together.
I've got to say, one of my favourite places on the Gold Coast, the Broadwater Parklands, if you've ever come up to the Gold Coast for the holidays, make sure you put that on the list, especially if you've got little ones.
Well, there's a bouncing castle, like a bouncing balloon and cushion-y thing.
The pillow thing you can jump on there.
Rock pools and all sorts of things.
Oh, it's a great place next to the water there. But I've never been to Easter United. I think I'm going to try to get along for this first one.
Very good. It's from 2:30 in the afternoon and it goes into the evening.
Okay.
Last year, the kids and I were actually up on the stage and we told the Easter story.
Well.
So that was, we're not this year, so I'm looking forward to actually relaxing. It was quite stressful.
I've seen photographs. It's absolutely massive.
And you take along a picnic dinner. And I think for me, the highlight is actually that many people from so many denominations all praising God together. Oof. It's really, really special time.
Well, on Good Friday, the Payne family and a few, I think the McLennan crew here from Vision as well. And I think, Leah and some others are all going to get together and we're all going to make our trek out to Mogra. The passion play that's happening. So we're looking forward to going out there and checking out that. I don't think I've ever seen in real life passion play done in front of me.
Amazing.
So I'm looking forward to taking the family out there, having a great time. So that's on Friday. And then on Sunday, later on in the afternoon, we've got some family stuff on.
You're very welcome.
I'll come out and have a look at Easter United and see if I can find you in the crowd.
Well, good luck. It is challenging, can I just say. No, it's wonderful. And we'll definitely, that would be great. We might get some sound bites then, DJ. Ooh. I'll interview you and see what you think about your first
The roving
go.
Reporters. Let's let's do it.
Just the right mix of things to inspire. And things to make you smile. Rise and shine with Phil and DJ on Vision.
Hot cross buns.
Look, we're going to roll this into a this or that. We don't want to divide too many people across hot cross buns, but there's one hot debate going on about hot cross buns. Mm. And basically, I mean, there's many different things we could say. We could look at the history, look at the flavours and all the different things like this. But the biggest question is, should they be all year round?
Well, that's right. And look, it's a topic as old as time. Yeah. Well, at least the last few years when the hot cross buns have been coming out prior to Christmas. Mm. And look, I can see some figures here that there are like millions of hot cross buns sold just before the new year even. So they now come out at Christmas time and before New Year's, they're selling millions of them.
Okay.
And that's in Coles alone. So it is interesting. Should they stay around or should they perhaps be just available at Easter time.
Well, I can say that our do we call it our you know, our grandparents over in England there, the mother nation, you know, there of England. England for the last few years have had hot cross buns all year round.
Have they?
All year round. And I feel like we're drifting in that direction. So we want to get your hot take.
CC Winans reminding us of the reason for the season. That's My King. You're on Rise and Shine with Fel and DJ. And look, we're bringing up the very big issues this morning.
Yeah, hot cross buns. I mean, look, we in the road to Easter, we know that we love our Easter traditions. And a lot of our traditions around family, around these sacred times, whether it's Christmas or Easter, we got to be honest, a lot of our traditions, and this is, you know, very biblical, is around food.
Well, that is true. I mean, tomorrow night, we've invited some friends. We have a Passover dinner. We don't, and I'm going to be completely honest, it's a very Australianized, westernized, with medium-age kids version of it. But it all revolves around food. If you ask my kids, they know exactly what's going to be served, and they're looking forward to it. But hot cross buns is a bit like that.
Yes.
It comes out, we know now, they come out about Christmas time, and we have them until Easter.
Well, I think God knows. This is what I like. You know, all these different feasts that were throughout the Old Testament and then carried, you know, different things carried on, and even communion that we have in the New Testament and the things that we remember, God knows what us humans are like, and he bases it around food and gathering together as a family. And I think hot cross buns, even though it's only been around for about, you know, 400 or 500 years, I mean, it's still a long time, but, you know, coming out from, you know, from London there, the crazy history of hot cross buns, you can see people banning them, queens and kings saying that they're only for this and don't sell them on that day and all these different things. But one thing that I've learned in the research of hot cross buns is that our, I guess our big brother, our big sister, the UK, has now got hot cross buns all year round.
And look, I'm looking at an article from the SBS, which mentions that in the 16th century under Queen Elizabeth, they forbid people to sell hot cross buns outside of Good Friday, Christmas, and all funerals for some reason. And now it's all year, so it's quite controversial, really.
The other thing that's controversial, and I think it was a controversy when it came out, but we're not really touching on it now, is but you can let us know. The flavours or the variations.
Chocolate. They're messy, those ones.
The messy ones are chocolate. In the UK, one of the most popular ones is orange and cranberry.
No, thank you.
Toffee?
No.
Salted caramel?
No.
Apple cinnamon?
No.
Okay, you just want chocolate.
No, I don't want chocolate, thank you. They are so, as a mum,
they are messy.
So messy. Oh, my goodness. Hot cross buns.
I taught our middle son how to use a griller, you know, in the old oven there. Yes. You've got the oven and the griller, or, you know, however your kitchen is set up. And I taught him how to, cut the hot cross buns, put them under there. So he goes out and buys a complete bag of chocolate ones.
Oh.
Slices, it's like he treats it like one big bun. Slices all of them together, opens it up, puts it in the grill, and then there's melted chocolate everywhere. Look, the other place, this is where it's fascinating, the other place that it's really popular is in Jamaica, the Commonwealth Caribbean Islands, and hot cross buns served, they call them Easter buns, they've got molasses in them, and they're eaten with ginger beer. You serve them with ginger beer. Yeah, and I can sort of see the double spice. You know, that double spice hit is often, you know, happen. Look, different traditions in Slovakia, Czech Republic, they have a different type of bun over there, but it's a sweet bread eaten at Easter time with a cross on top. So there's different traditions
Isn't
all over
around. Isn't it lovely, though, that the cross is that piece that just connects across the world and across those traditions to say, hey, the reason for Easter is Jesus and what happened on that cross.
Amen, amen. Mm. So the question that we're asking you to give us a call on, 1-800-316-316, we're going to boil it down to this.
Okay.
Hot cross buns.
Yes.
All year round.
Yes.
Or Easter only.
Right. The big question. If you've got a view, give us a call next. We're asking the big questions this Easter.
Yeah.
Hot cross buns. All year? Or is this just a seasonal treat?
Exactly. Look, there's a lot of things we could do about hot cross buns, all the flavors, the traditions. Sure. I don't know. Everybody loves a version of them. probably some people love too many versions of them here. But we're asking you all year round or just for Easter, asking you on our Facebook page and on our Instagram account. Faye's got in touch with us and said, no, only on Good Friday and not a day before because of their significance. But they have to be chocolate, of course. So traditional to a level there, Faye. I like it.
Alina has said, nope, They have significance to Easter. If you want the flavour, eat Raisin Toast. So there you go. Alina has called it. So is Tarina. If you've got a say, now is the time to jump over and let us know your thoughts.
1-800-316-316. Let us know what you think about the hot cross bun all year round or just for Easter. Or if you've got any other hot takes about hot cross bun, we want to hear from you.
Okay, DJ, we've got a favourite. Dean from Inverell is on the line. Dean, how you doing?
Yeah, 100% thanks. How are you going?
Yeah, awesome. You're looking forward to Easter?
I am indeed, yeah.
What was it? Was that a door squeaking or was that an animal in the background?
No, that was the door. That was my bedroom door.
It sounded a bit like one of those whistles that goes.
Yeah. I don't know what that was that I got there. What do you got planned for Easter, mate?
Oh, nothing special. Just go to church. We've got an open air service here in Inverell.
Oh, beautiful.
I was ringing up about the hot cross buns. My pastor was saying one of the supermarkets has taken the cross off the hot cross buns.
No, surely not.
Look,
no, they haven't replaced it with a tick, so they don't offend anyone.
I was already upset because I saw one batch of hot cross buns. I won't name the place, but a bakery had been doing hot cross buns instead of doing like imagine a vertical and horizontal cross on the buns.
Yeah.
They've made it diagonal, like a noughts and crosses, like a noughts and crosses. And I was like, that had me upset. And so to take it right off,
no,
I'm not happy about that.
No, not at all.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the only thing we can do, I guess, in situations like this where they're mucking around with the cross is to say, you know what, we're not going to buy those ones. We'll go to where we can get some traditional ones.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Dean. All right, there's a hot take on a hot cross bun. I like it. Watch out for the imposters. You only want a hot cross bun.
Definitely.
Yeah, don't get any of the others.
We are loving these calls about hot cross buns. There is a lot happening that I wasn't even aware of in the world of hot cross buns.
Yeah, there's some hot takes on the hot cross buns all around Australia. The basic question we're asking you is, should it be all year round?
Yes.
Or, like, because they're doing that in the UK. They've, for the last few years, you can get hot cross buns any day of the week, whenever you want, all year round.
But then the traditionalists are saying, no, it's an Easter tradition.
That's it.
Keep it at Easter so it's special.
All right.
I think we've got to go up to the news, but maybe we can take some more on the other side. We want to hear some more about hot cross buns and your takes on it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to squeeze in. I can see someone right here. Yeah. 1-800-316-316. We've got Darren on the line. Good morning. I think it's Darren here. Who we got here?
It's Darren.
Hey, Darren, where are you calling from?
I'm from Brickdale.
I'm sorry?
Brickdale.
What are you doing in the background? Are you like, it sounds like you're in a kitchen.
Actually, no, I'm a driver truck.
A little bit different there,
There we go, we had the wrong picture at all.
Yeah, it's very noisy where you are. Now, are you ringing up about a hot... That's fine, we love it. Where are you driving the truck today?
I'm heading off to Coomera.
Okay, all right, just southeast Queensland there. What's your hot take on the hot cross buns?
Well, there's two sides to that coin. One is, okay, considering the hot cross bun is supposed to represent the stone rolled away from the empty tomb, can't hurt to have it all year round to remind us there.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and I hear.
Even considering it's mostly just an Easter thing, just for Easter, not all year round. So it's a either or. I mean, yeah, for the representation side of it, that the tomb is empty, he has risen, can't hurt. All year round, get a reminder of that.
I like it. All year round reminder. Okay, I'm going to put it down as that.
There you go.
All right. Hey, drive safely.
I will. God bless you both. Have a fantastic Easter weekend.
Oh, we will, Darren. We will load in the truck up there. Hopefully he's loading it with some hot cross buns.
Wow, it does sound like a good idea. Yummy. We could do some here. Talking about it's making me hungry.
Okay, so there you go. Darren, I think he's the first one for the other side.
Which I appreciate.
All year round because it's remembering Jesus.
Why not? And as a mum, it's useful in a lunchbox. So, okay. I mean, that's a non-spiritual answer, but they're a great lunchbox filler.
Okay, we're going to continue the discussion because the phones are melting down. What do you think about a hot cross bun all year round? Let us know.
Across Australia, this is Rise and Shine with Fel and DJ on Vision.
And we're talking about hot cross buns this morning.
The headline is, what's your hot take on the hot cross bun? the main question we're asking, because I found out that in the UK, in England, in London, you can walk into any of the supermarkets all year round and get a hot cross bun.
Well, in my family, that would be quite popular because they are a big fan of the hot cross bun.
But tradition says it's Easter only. So we're asking you, should it be Easter only? Should it be, all year round? We're asking you to give us a call, 1-800-316-316.
Okay, I've got Anne from Labrador on the line. Anne, what are your thoughts on hot cross buns?
Hot cross buns is a special time for Easter.
Okay.
It's not all year round. I know that it'd be good to do that, but then it doesn't bring us back to memory of what Jesus did on the cross. And it's a special time where we reflect what Jesus did. So the hot cross bun, I think, for Easter time.
Okay. All right. We're putting you on the traditional Easter only time. Are you doing something special over Easter, Anne?
No, nothing really. I'm going to a service tomorrow, a Good Friday service, and then we're going to have a service on Easter, at church. So,
That sounds special to me. That sounds lovely. Lovely. Hey, well, thank you so much for your call. You have a wonderful Easter weekend.
And you too.
We will. We will. We're asking for your calls, 1-800-316-316. What is your hot take on the hot cross bun?
Okay, our next person with a thought on hot cross buns is Richard from Swansea. Richard, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good, thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, good, good. We're talking hot cross buns. Have you got a thought for us?
I have. It's, I think it's just one of the ways something has crept into our society, and we see it in a lot of things. It's delayed gratification is something that's forgotten now.
What? Hang on. Yes, there's words coming out of your mouth, Richard. I don't understand what that means. I want it yesterday. I want it now.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, so much of things, we want it now. You can run yourself up into a huge debt with credit cards. People want everything now. And we lose the sense of waiting for something.
Mm.
So I'm one for a bit of a traditionalist, but I like Darren's call. If we're reminded of it all the year, but the trouble is, if something's so common, you forget specialness and its meaning.
And I won't mention the supermarket chain. I went in there the other day, and they've got a hot cross bun packet with the Easter bunny on it, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know about that one. So, I feel you.
But it's not the real reason, is it?
Exactly. Hey, Richard, love your take on it there and reminding us about, how it is, the old good things come to those that wait sort of adage there, Richard.
Yeah. I mean, we long for the hope that we hang out for, which is in heaven. But we can't have that right now. But it'll happen.
I love it, mate. Hey, bless you. Have a wonderful Easter.
You too. God bless.
Hot cross buns.
Yes.
It's a bit of a fun, but, it's a little bit of an interesting thought there. Should it be all year?
Well, traditions and what we do as a family around these holy times of year, I think they're important. And even though we're having a bit of fun with the hot take on the hot cross bun and should they be all year round and what flavours should they be and all those type of things, I think there's a little, there's those hints and shadows of the truth behind there. So we're asking you to give us a call, 1-800-316-316 with your hot take on the hot cross bun.
Okay, Belinda, have you got a thought about hot cross buns for us?
Well, I do actually, and I think I'm going to go with the lady that rang before.
Yeah.
Hot cross buns are important for one reason, and it's Jesus.
Yes.
And I look at the supermarkets and I see them flooding in well before time, not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of brings me back to thinking this little world we live in, people forget what the reason of Easter is, same with Christmas. And then I'm not really going to pull the subject, but Halloween, excuse me.
You're opening up the whole can of worms right there for us. I like it.
Yeah.
But so I'm going to, as we tally this up, I'm going to say you're putting your vote firmly in the no Easter only.
Yes.
Okay.
Big cross. No.
We've got you down. Thank you so much, Belinda.
Have a good day, you guys.
You
See ya.
Too.
We will. Thanks, Belinda. All right, on the line. I think we've got someone else here on the line.
Yeah, that's right. We've got Marguerite. How are you doing?
Oh, look, you guys, it's so good to have you back because I went, oh, no. Are they gone for how many weeks?
Just for a couple of days. Couple of days.
Oh, you deserve it and more. But when you're not there, I know I miss you.
Oh, well, you know, we won't tell Matt Prater that, but we appreciate it.
No, I love Matty, but you guys are just have like both sides of the argument, not the argument. No, both sides.
Who's winning though, Marguerite? Let's be honest. No, just joking.
Now, hot cross buns. Yeah, hot cross buns. Have you got a hot opinion about hot cross buns?
I do, because I was listening to Brett and Kate the other day, and Kate was saying she's gluten-free, and I am gluten-free.
Okay.
And I have a fix for gluten-free people who want to celebrate the real reason for Easter and who want to have a gluten-free hot cross bunish treat.
Right.
So this is, it's just a recipe for like as fruity as you want to make it, and you just make little cakes or little muffins, and then you just get a little bit of white chocolate, melt it, and then do your cross with that. And I tell you what, it's better than any bought hot cross.
Okay.
It sounds great.
So you're sort of getting one of those gluten-free mixes of what like a muffin or what are you using as the actual cake part of it?
Yep, you could use any good gluten-free mix.
Yes.
There's lots of them. We have an IGA and a Drake that have beautiful gluten-free mixes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you just throw in whatever sultanas or whatever you like or don't like, you know, just have that. Mm. Or you can just get an apple and cinnamon one.
Ooh.
And then just melt a little bit of white chocolate, and then just, you can either drizzle it with a spoon or you can get really technical and put it in like a...
You're making me hungry, Marguerite. You're making me very hungry.
I'm going to make that for my mum, Marguerite, because she is gluten-free. So there we go.
I like it.
Ziploc bag, cut the tip off it, and then you can just pipe the cross on it. So,
But look, Marguerite, the big question today is, should hot cross buns be available all year round, gluten-free or not? What do you think?
Absolutely not.
Oh, there we go. A very definitive answer.
Okay, we're definitely putting you on the no category there, that no category. I like it.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Marguerite. We're putting your vote down, and a great recipe there for all the gluten-free.
Well, I might be trying that out for my mum.
Yeah.
So thank you, Marguerite. Thinking about everyone this Easter.
I think we've got to tally up the score, and we might have room for one more call about your hot take on the hot cross bun.
Taya, all about Jesus, the reason for this season. You're on Rise and Shine on Vision. We're talking about hot cross buns.
Yeah.
So far, the tide seems to be towards, just have them at Easter.
Yeah, I'm getting some messages in here. People are saying, no, all year round, we want hot cross buns all year
well,
round.
Well, I'm with them. I do.
But I think the traditionalists are going to win. It's only at Easter time. But you know what? We can fit in one more phone call right here.
Okay, Joe, you're like almost out of cider here. Hot cross buns all year or just at Easter?
No, I just want your opinion on the fact that there is pizza-shaped hot cross buns.
Wait. Stop. What are you talking about?
How big? Like a big pizza?
One big supermarket is selling pizza-shaped flavoured hot cross buns.
Really?
Hang on. Oh, you've blown my mind here, Joe. Are we talking a pizza, like something the size of a pizza, a big pizza that's got there's a flavour of hot cross bun, or are we talking about a little hot cross bun that is the flavour of a pizza?
A little hot cross bun that is the flavour of a pizza.
Oh.
What?
Like a cheese and bacony type of a rolly pizza.
Yeah, because you can get ice vovo ones, which are really nice.
Oh,
what is
happening down in Tasmania?
What debauchery? What chaos?
Sauce in the middle?
Chaos is going on in Tasmania, Joe. What is going on?
I had Nutella ones this morning to take to work.
Wow.
But I did ask a supermarket worker what they taste like. She said, don't go there with the barbecue, the pizza-shaped ones.
Oh, dear.
So I have to send you one.
Yeah, you do. Please do. Okay. Hey.
Bye.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Actually,
how
you know
will
what?
They post, I wonder.
Yeah, Joe, don't send me a pizza-flavoured hot cross bun. Oh, boy. On that note, I think we've got to tell it this call. We've got to be honest here. Traditionalists have won.
I think they've been the loudest voice this morning. So hats off to everyone who says it's just for Easter.
You've got it there.
We might be able to send that on to the Coles and Woolies. I'm sure they would be.
Look, the sad truth is, if everybody, they make so much money on hot cross buns because people buy them in droves over this season. They want to get it all year round. So I think it's only a matter of time before we get them all year round.
Look, we would buy them all year round. Yeah, so exactly. There you go. We're part of the problem.
I know. Hey, don't go anywhere. I'm very excited. In a moment, we've got Ken Duncan, legendary Australian photographer. He's going to be joining us talking about his memories around the Passion of the Christ 20 years ago.
Getting you up and ready to face the day. This is Rise and Shine with Felon DJ on Vision.
And now, a very special, podcast only, uncut and unedited, exclusive behind the scenes with Australian photographer, Ken Duncan, just for you, our faithful podcast listener. Enjoy.
How you doing?
Dangerously well, mate.
Dangerously well.
And yeah, there.
Now you've got I'm DJ and you've got Fel here. F-F-E-L, Fel.
It's Felicia, okay. But it's too hard for everyone, so we dumbed it down.
Okay, got it, Fel.
What I'd love to do is kick off with basically reminding everybody it was this time last year, you were hanging out with Phil Edwards at the Forgiveness Cross.
Yeah, that's right. And, why I've got the young girl in the background.
Awesome.
The t-shirt because that's our main passion right now is, being out there working with the kids. And it's really going well. Fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Well,
what sort of things do you do with the kids, Ken?
Well, we're giving them access to technology, photography, music, and computer skills, which they don't have access to this, so.
Wow.
Is there a website that we can promote for that?
Yeah, walkawhile.org.au.
Walk a while.
And, it's really working because everybody, if you're going to bridge a gap, it requires people to come together.
Yeah.
Not create a policy.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Is that church-driven, Ken?
No, look, it's very interesting because when we put out asking for help from all the churches, of 640 churches, 3 responded.
Yeah.
Our two of my mates, it's just been individuals and privately funded because you can't get government funding, government funding comes with so many strings that you can't really Christian content or anything like that.
Yeah.
We decided God will provide, and he has amazingly. But.
Awesome.
No denomination has done it. It's just been Walk a While, and a lot of beautiful Christians and a lot of non-Christians have been, because everybody has wanted to somehow try and help this biggest shame in our nation, which is what's happening with our Indigenous people in remote communities. And, this whole thing in Alice Springs, it's not going to go away. They need to deal with doing what we're doing, put creative arts centres out in these different communities to keep the kids there doing things and creating jobs that they want,
amazing.
Do you do anything? Have you done anything with Levi McGrath? Do you know Levi McGrath? Okay, he's a Christian musician who has started a foundation doing the same thing but on music, like setting up music studios, providing instruments.
We're doing that already. We're recording music. If you heard some of the music we've got, it's mind-blowing.
Awesome.
Sonny backing us on it too. So
legendary. Okay.
Yes,
well, what do you reckon? Should we do Passion of the Christ memories first, and then I reckon
talk about what you're doing now.
Okay. Just do the Passion. It's fine. Yeah.
No.
Well,
I'm more interested in this now, Ken. That's great. All right. So we'll get a couple of memories in around Passion of the Christ. And then. I think we've got 3 breaks over this next 20 minutes or so. And so we'll time it out like that, if that's okay.
We are messengers 1,000 times. You're waking up with Rise and Shine on Vision with Fel and DJ, and we have a special guest zooming into the studio.
I'm very excited for this one.
Yes. Well, photographer to photographer.
Yeah.
You've got Ken Duncan here on Zoom. And Ken, we asked you how to introduce you, and this is the most humble and beautiful way I've heard. Can please introduce me as an average photographer with a great God. I think I have to dispute. I've seen some of your photos and they're not average. But good morning.
Well, we don't have an average God. That's what makes it special.
I love it, Ken. Hey, we are so blessed to have you on here, and we've done this under the umbrella of remembering the Passion of the Christ. 20 years ago, you were on set photographer for Mel Gibson there on the film. It's back in cinemas all over Australia. I would love to just get a hot take of your personal memories of being on that set. Did you know what was happening, what the movie was going to become while you were there shooting?
Yeah, look, Mel's been a friend all through my life, and when I was shooting the book America Wide, I would stop in Mel's place in California just about every time, so I was aware that he was doing this book because it was from a book by The Dolorous Passion by Anne Catherine Emmerich. And so he'd given me this book and he told me he was going to do it. And look, even the way the movie came about was supernatural. Mm. And so what happened is when they were interviewing Jim Caviezel, they were actually interviewing him for a surfing movie. And all of a sudden Mel had already been working on the script, and Jim Caviezel, God had spoken to him and said, look, you need... this is not about a surfing movie. It's about a movie on Jesus. And anyhow, he goes to this meeting with Mel and Steve McAvity, who's the other producer, and they're talking about surfing movie. And then, like, Jim Caviezel goes, well, actually, I don't think that's what I'm really here for. And, I mean, how bold is this? And then he goes, look, I really believe you're doing something about Jesus, and I need to be involved. And Mel and Steve looked at each other like, what the heck? How does he know about this? And in Hollywood, you've got to be very careful about any movie idea, because what happens if people get a hold of what you're doing, they'll try and ride on the wave and do a substandard number and ride off that PR. And so he said, look, even if we were going to do a movie on Jesus, as an actor, I would advise you there's two roles in life you should never play. That's Superman and Jesus. And then Jim Caviezel said, well, look, you know, for me, if it was the case, I would, you know, Jesus is more important to me. Anyhow, Mel said, okay, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And so he rang back, and so that's how it happened.
Wow.
They decided then and there they had to stop the surfing movie and get on with The Passion of Christ and get it out there as soon as possible. So the whole, Mel rings me up and they decide that they're going to do it. And he rang me up and said, Ken, can you come and be on the movie? Because, you know, I'm doing this Jesus movie. And I said, yeah, mate, that'd be great. So when are we talking about? In 3 weeks' time. What the heck? And he said, I'm meant to be launching my own book. It was coming up to Christmas and I was meant to be launching my own book. And I said, I've got to launch my book. I've got all this media stuff and everything like that. And he said, oh, man, I really want you to be there. And so I said, man, I'm going to have to go and talk to my wife and I'll see how I go with that one. Anyhow, I went to Pam and said, look, darling, I know this is going to sound funny, but Mel wants me to come and shoot on a movie, the Jesus movie he's doing. He said, oh, that'll be great. That's fine. And she said, when is it? 3 weeks' time. And she went, what? Are you kidding? Well, let me get this right. You and Mel are going to go over there and play movies while I'm left with a book launch. You're meant to be there to launch this book, which is very important to us.
Yeah.
And I went, look, I know it's crazy, but look, I'm just going to leave it now. You pray about it and you let me know. So I thought, only God can deal with this one. And anyhow, so God spoke to Pam and said, look, he's got to go. And so I went. But, you know, the book was fine in the end. It looked after itself. And it was such an amazing experience to be on set. It life-changing. And the whole movie, Mel, I think he really wanted just to have a friend there. There was another photographer on the set, Philip Antonello, and he was when he first saw me come on set, he was like, what's another photographer doing here? I said, listen, mate, I'm a landscape photographer. I don't have a clue what I'm doing on this movie. But the thing is, Mel just wanted me here, and, you know, and so I'm not a threat to you. And in fact, on the second day of being there, I realized we've got to do a book about this movie, because this is like being transported back into time to the time of Jesus. Mm. And so I said to Mel, hey, Mel, look, we should do a book on this. What do you reckon? And he said, look, Ken, if you want to do it, go for it. You look after that. And so that's what we did. And then Philippe became like my best mate because it was no longer just about shooting movie pics. It was about doing a book that would associate and go with the book. And that book sold about over 750,000 copies.
Wow. Yeah. These memories are fantastic. Listen, we're going to take a quick moment. We'll come back in just a moment. We have the incredible Ken Duncan with us. We're reminiscing about The Passion of the Christ because it's back in cinemas now. I know you're working on a couple of other projects that we want to get across as well, Ken. So we'll be back with you here on Rise and Shine.
Toby Mac, faithfully, you're waking up with Rise and Shine on Vision with Fel and DJ, and we have zooming in this morning, Ken Duncan, joining us for the re-release of The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
And Ken, so exciting to hear you are on the set, but more exciting for me this morning, I didn't realise that friendship that you had with Mel that got you onto the set and part of being there, really, you've been saying is to be a friend during what would be a challenging time putting together a movie of such stature.
Look, he put everything on the line for that movie, and, you know, people don't realise that. All the so-called big backers, when they found out it was a movie about Jesus, they all just left him, hung him out to dry. And so he decided, I'm doing it, and he put everything on the line himself. You know, and there was a lot of pressure. There was this crazy mob saying it was anti-Jewish, which he would never do anything anti-Jewish at all or anything like that. Sorry about that. And it was just he needed really, I think he wanted me to be on the movie there with him just to have a friend there as well, just that he could talk with, because we've known each other since school days. And so before he was some celebrity, you know, so.
I love that. And the friendship continues. And I know, you can't say anything about, you know, Passion of the Christ 2. There's a sequel been in the works for a very, very long time. But the last time we spoke to you, that Vision spoke to you, it was this time last year. Some people will remember you joined Phil Edwards and, you know, some of the teams, including the elder, I think it's Kieran Malta you're putting on Memory Mountain, The Forgiveness Cross. We remember, you know, Phil and you being out there, sitting out there and celebrating around Easter. This amazing, amazing thing. But there's a Mel Gibson connection to that as well.
Oh, look, when Mel was out here shooting on Hacksaw Ridge, it was pretty intense sort of movie there, and his girlfriend was coming over from America, Rose, who's just a lovely lady. And he wanted to get away, and I said, mate, you should. And he knew that we were building the cross. He said, look, I want to come out and see this cross and see what you're doing. And so I said, oh, mate, okay, mate. So I took him out there and with his girlfriend, and it was just so good, because as soon as we got Dallas, we then just he made one mistake. He went in, he wanted to go into the Coles while I was shopping. I said, I don't think this is a good idea. You know? Anyhow, he came in, and, you know, people just wanted to line up to get his autograph.
Wow.
So I had to be the bad guy and say, listen, you guys, he can't. He's on a schedule. He's not allowed to. No, because people think, you know, that they can just demand these people to do anything. And so someone did get a photo, and the next minute people found out that he was in the area, but no one knew where he went, because I just got him and took him out to Hearth Bluff to meet my Aboriginal friends. And they all just said, oh, you know, they loved him, but they just treated him just like a normal person. They just called him Mad Max, you know. And so anyhow, he loved it because no one cared who he was. And the elders he said to all the people, listen, his family, treat him just, you know, properly. And so we went up on top of the mountain where we were going to build the cross, and we were sitting up there just, you know, looking at things and having a bit of a prayer. This huge eagle just came, the biggest eagle I've ever seen in my life, came and hovered 30 foot above our head. You know, unfortunately, I didn't have a camera, but it just sat there for half an hour while we're sitting there, and he's going, man. And for him, he just said, look, this is the most amazing time. Because we're out there for 3 or 4 days. He said, this has been the most amazing time just to get away from everything. And so we had this amazing time. Meanwhile, we didn't realize media trying to find out, where's this Mel Gibson gone missing? And so they're making up a story because they found out that he's gone out to where we're building the cross. So I go to take him back into town, and as I go back into town, we had no phone connection out there. All of a sudden, bing, 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 my phone's going off, and I thought, oh, look, I'll deal with that later. And so I drop Mel at the airport, and then I start to answer the phones, and there's all these media people trying to find out about Mel Gibson. So there's some story that's been launched on London's front page of some major tabloid. Mel Gibson building cross for sequel of The Passion of the Cross.
Oh, no.
What? And look, and then Mel's building it. Now, Mel has been loving it. He loved it out there, but we actually said to Mel, we don't want any money from you because we don't ever want this cross to be known as someone's cross. It's got to be a cross that God does.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want Mel to come out later on. He'll come out later on and he'll help with the Aboriginals, teaching them movie skills and making movies. So that's more where I'd like Mel to help later on to, you know, to impart knowledge because these people are great storytellers.
Yeah.
You know, this is why I've got the photo of the young girl, Letitia, behind me, because it's about equipping young kids with technology and skills so they can do things and create jobs and income streams doing things they like, you know. And so he loved the people out there and they loved him. And I can tell you, you really find out a lot about people when you're out there in remote communities. And Rose, she had kids all over and, you know, so it was an amazing time. So I had to then sort of quell this story. Look, it's not Mel Gibson's cross. I just took him out there to get away from media, you know.
Oh boy, yeah. We love that story, and that's a great transitional point of hearing what you're doing now and what you're doing in Indigenous communities. Mm. So let's take one more moment. Let's have a listen to Joel Vaughan. Make the most of it. We'll be back on the other side, and we'll wrap up our conversation here with the he calls himself average, I call him legendary, Ken Duncan, this morning on Rise and Shine. Every now and then, if I press that button too quick, it doesn't click in. Yeah, I've got a lot.
What was the beautiful girl behind you? Is her name Letitia, did you say?
Latika.
Okay.
She, just looking into her eyes.
Yeah, great photo.
You just want to go and give her a hug.
Look, it's all about kids. I refuse to see another generation of kids grow up without hope. And you know what? As a Christian community, we need to be doing more in this space and not just doing it by having our own brand on it.
Yeah.
It's about just working together more in these remote areas.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to be the same way that you were dragging Mel out from the Alice Springs
mall.
You know, the supermarket there. I'm going to be the rude guy here that's going to have to chop up at the end here. So we've got about a good 2.5 minutes in this next break, and when it's time to wrap it up, I'll just jump in there and sort of try to politely cut you off.
Not a problem.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, mate. You've been absolutely legendary.
That's a pleasure.
And if there's anything that we can do, you know this, and anything that we can do at Vision or on The Breakfast Show or anything like that, we would love, I mean, you know, I know you've got Neil Johnson's contact details and stuff. We would just love to help you guys out with anything and everything.
Well, what we need to do is if people really want to help with the Indigenous issue, go to walkawhile.org.au. and see how they can be part, you know. And there's needs like washing machines, and like it's an ongoing work where we had that concert last year, 1500. We're planning 2006, a huge one. So that's going to be lifting up the name of Jesus over the nation. Now, Mel wanted to be at that cross launch.
But, I see ya.
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody, but he was going to want to come.
Oh, that would have been great.
And I just, like I said, look, not this time. Just like we're going to do a bigger one later. So,
all right, here we go. We're going back into the song. We got a good 2.5 minutes. Let's wrap it on up here.
Rise and Shine with Felon DJ on Vision.
Joel Vaughan, make the most of it. You're waking up with Rise and Shine on Vision, and we're enjoying having a chat with Ken Duncan.
Yeah.
So much fun. So look, interesting.
Storyteller behind the camera, storyteller on the radio with us here. Ken, we love your heart, not only for the Lord, not only for capturing great images, but also for the Australian, the Indigenous people of Australia, and wanting to be active in healing the wound of history and how the church can be involved in this. And that's on the back of you starting this organisation, walkawhile.org.au. Tell us about that.
The word walk a while comes from, if you really want to know someone, you need to walk a while with them. Mm-hmm. And then if you do that, they will then open up to you. And this is what Indigenous people are. So many people come and want things and think things about Indigenous people, but they're not prepared to spend the time. So we've been out there for over 20 years now working with the community, and the key is bringing job opportunities and also supporting what they're doing out there, because there is a revival in some of these remote communities. Mm. And, you know, I really believe the Indigenous people are the ones who are going to lead revival into this nation.
Let's go.
And so it's not like, oh, look, I love being out there with the people, but it's not just about what, you know, we can give to them. It's what they will give to us, because they understand moving in the Holy Spirit more than we do often, because they, you know, they're so sensitive to it. And we're seeing out at the cross huge miracles, amazing miracles, people getting touched sovereignly by the Holy Spirit without anybody intervening. So this is what Australia and the world needs. We need revival. No revival, we're in trouble. Like, it's just crazy, the media and everything. If we're looking for politicians to have the answers,
it's not going to happen. So people can go to walkawhile.org.au.
Support it. The thing is, what we're trying to do, though, is it's not just about Christianity and revival. It's about getting out there and walking with these people, creating job opportunities, so that doing things they like. And this is, like, you see on the news what's happening in Alice Springs. This is a bigger issue because they're not doing anything in these remote communities. There's no, what we've got is a technology center out there, and we're teaching music. Oh. Some of the music we're getting out there is mind-blowing.
Wow.
And with Mel, I'd like him to come over later on, and he's going to come over because he loves the people out there. They've even named him and
I think we need to pitch a bit of a radio school out there as well, and maybe we can.
We should do that. Come on out, because the thing is that they would love that. And, you know, especially, actually, it's funny because I brought a bunch of the kids up to Sydney and I took them to 2GB, a big station.
Yeah.
And they wanted to interview the kids. And I said, well, really, you should get to know them first. And when I took them in, they all just went, they just couldn't talk. And I said, I said, kids, quick, you know.
I love it, Ken. Hey, listen, we could talk to you all day. We've run out of time. We're recommending everybody head over to walkawhile.org.au. We'll put the link out there on our socials. But, Ken, bless you. Thank you for going down the old memory lane with us there. And we're looking forward to what we're going to be doing with you in the future.
See you, mate. Bless you guys.
Bless you heaps too. Song going out to Ken and Walk A While. This is Hope Can Change Everything here on Vision Radio. Absolutely fantastic, mate.
Thank you, Ken. So inspiring.
The video will be going up sometime, maybe over Easter or just after, so we'll make sure the links are all out of there.
See you later.
Bless you. Bless you heaps.
Bye.
Great conversations, fun, inspiration and more. Rise and shine with Fel and DJ on Vision.
Well, we're about to head off for the Easter long weekend, but before we do, we need a curtain call to take us there.
Yeah.
I've got Dean from Inverell on the line. Have you got like an Easter curtain call for us?
How about some Dagama on key? Maybe Are You Ready?
Ooh,
that sounds like a good Easter one.
Yeah, a nice Easter one here. Dagama on key, Are You Ready? Now, what album is that from?
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't really know.
I'm going to have to look up here.
That will be a DJ question then.
Yeah, I'm going to go digging right now. Dagama and Key, Are You Ready? I think that's one of their earlier ones.
Yep.
Okay. From Communication. We're talking 1984. This is the album with the two of them with relatively short hair on the television there. With a test pattern in the background there. All right, Are You Ready? Dagama Key, 1984. I think this is a good Easter curtain call.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dean. I feel like we're on the set of Miami Vice for that one there.
Boogieing our way into Easter, a long weekend. Thank you to Dean from Inverell for that curtain call.
I love that. DeGarmo and Key from their album Communication, 1984, the 80s at its very best. That's the lead track off the album, Are You Ready? And I think it's appropriate for Easter. I think the lyrics of that one works well.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. We've got our hot cross buns for this special time of the year.
And I'm getting texts from my husband. I'm nibbling on a hot cross bun.
Right
now?
Thanks
for making us talk about that all
yeah,
day.
Yeah. We're all hungry for hot cross buns now. Hey, we're going to recommend today that you head over and download the podcast of the show. Might even have some extra bits and pieces from Mr. Ken Duncan himself on there, things that we couldn't include on the airwaves. You know, we still chat to him during the songs.
Well, we're quite polite here, yeah. But he had a lot to say. And I think we could have just stood away and he would have been quite able to take himself through an interview. He was just fantastic.
I think we've got to pitch the Ken Duncan show.
Amazing.
On I Vision. Would listen. So go check out our podcast, Rise and Shine. You can find it wherever you get your good podcasts or in the Vision app itself. But more than anything, have a wonderful, blessed, holy Easter, hopefully with your family and the church, wherever you are. And we're going to see you back here on, let me get this right, Tuesday morning.
That's right. If you turn up on Monday, I won't be here.
Okay,
so you'll be on your own.
I might be locked out of the building as well. Tuesday morning, we'll see you back here. Have a blessed time. Bye-bye.
Rise and shine on Australia's Vision Christian Radio. Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.